This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Lizzie Candy.
And Stephen Legg, welcome to Access All Areas.
Oh, we're in such a good mood today.
We are in a good mood, aren't we? Considering once again you've had very little sleep, you're out last night.
Well, I'm sorry, a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do, and it was White City time.
Yeah, so the new Soho House you were at.
Oh, it was
incredible. Sophie Ellis-Bextor performed, my favourite artist of all time.
You missed it, darling.
Where was my invite? Lost in the place.
Sorry, you are always welcome with me. Give me a little text, I'll get you in. No, but it was fantastic. Yes, she sung, lots of others sung. It was a really good atmosphere. But there's the most magnificent swimming pool at the top.
Is there? So it's actually the old BBC building, isn't it?
It's the old. It was weird going back in time, but there were so many Blue Peter presenters there. There was Sarah Green and Thea Turner.
Oh, yeah, they all
were there.
Great. You had a good time.
It was one of the best nights.
Sorry, I saw you pictured with Dr. Hillary and Anthea.
I know. I saw Dr. Hillary. He said I had a sore chest.
Why? Reason. What was wrong?
I was coughing.
Did he give it a good feel?
He did. Because he didn't have his little telescope with him.
Stethoscope.
Sorry, you tell I've had a late night. It was all good. It was
good.
Very, 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 very good.
I'm glad.
And full of fun people, fun place. You really got to try it. You've got to be a member though, I think.
Well, yeah, and that's expensive, so I can't afford that. I had quite a good night last night as well, actually.
Oh, where were
you? I went to Circus Abyssinia, Udderbelly Festival, and it was the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
What the hell is that?
It's just like a circus act. With all these African guys and girls, and it's incredible.
Wow.
I would recommend everyone to go and see it. It's really good. On the South Bank.
Wow.
They do like, it's like Britain's Got Talent on steroids.
And were you on a date?
I was not on a date, no.
Okay, just thought.
Alas, no.
Alas.
No dates in my
alas,
life.
Alas, no.
No.
Oh, dates are trouble. I found that out last night.
Oh, yes, you did, didn't you? Had a little incident.
No.
Nothing
we won't
on
talk
air.
About that.
But we have an incredible show.
We do always incredible
always.
Show, but so incredible because do you like honey? I just got to say,
yes,
you do like honey.
I do.
That's very handy because guess who's here? The one and only Honey G is
yes.
in the studio.
Honey G is in the house.
She's here, darling.
We just met her outside. She smells gorgeous.
She's 100% hotter.
Oh, yes.
Smell and in the flesh.
We want to talk to her about her little turn on 100% Hotter and, of course, her career, what she's up to, what's going on. And then, after Honey, we have the very handsome David Stevenson from The Apprentice.
Oh, he's so
he is
handsome.
Coming in. And then we have Meredith Ostrom, who is an artist actor. We're going to find out all about her career.
Sex in the City, Love Actually.
Yeah, she's done it all.
Studio. All in the studio.
All in the studio. We are like blessed.
We are blessed with guests, but not blessed with time. So let's get on.
Well, I wanted to talk to you briefly about Khloe Kardashian, Lizzie Cundy.
Oh, listen. I tell you, keep away from the sportsmen.
So, for anyone,
I did tell her.
So poor Khloe Kardashian is days away from giving birth, right?
Correct.
Days away. And
well,
suddenly...
She's actually weak. She's gone into early labour,
well,
apparently.
This is the rumour.
The rumour.
But yeah, then all these videos have come out of her baby daddy basically groping women in clubs and snogging people.
Well, he had a little naughty weekend in New York. Mm-hmm. And he was seen in a club. He was kissing, but he had his hoodie on. He put the hood up thinking
no
people
one would
see
him.
But everyone's got their cameras these days. You've got to be so careful. Let me tell you.
Oh, is that from experience?
Doing that? And then he was seen walking and they said she was a stripper and all of this. And it's gone viral.
Mm.
Now, reports are she's gone into early labour. She shouldn't be giving birth for a couple of weeks. Her sisters are away.
Yeah.
In Turks.
That's true.
So
what do you think, though? There's a story going around that apparently a source quote says that she, despite everything, is saying that he can still come into the birthing room when she's giving birth. What do you think of that?
I can understand it.
Really?
Because it is, you know, when you're giving birth and it's first time for her, it's very scary. You wouldn't want the father not to be there.
That's
no matter
true.
What. And I don't think people understand unless you've been there, and I
definitely
people
haven't been there.
May have given birth, but you want someone there with you, and I think it's very mean to say to the father you can't be there because of something that may or may not have happened.
I just want to add, actually, breaking news: she has given birth.
She's given birth
to a baby girl, and he was there.
Wow, there you go. Heard it first here on FUBAR Radio.
So
congratulations!
It's a baby girl. Well, that's all we know at the minute.
It's a baby girl.
Broke a little while ago, but.
Oh,
half an
well,
hour
I'm
ago.
I'm really pleased, and hopefully they can sort this out. I mean, there's more important things. You've got a healthy baby girl, and it will bring them together, hopefully.
True. I don't think I could be that forgiving, personally.
Listen,
but I'm not the one
boy.
Giving birth.
Silly man, but he's selfish. Sportsmen are selfish.
Is this something that you think is a common trait in sportsmen?
Well, I think it's in their DNA. I'm not being flippant. I actually feel, from a very young age... They are told how wonderful they are. All they know, say from what I know in the football world.
Is this from personal experience?
I'm just talking generally. Thank you. As an assumption of someone that was on the inside.
Uh-huh.
That they are kind of really muddy.
Mollycoddled.
Yeah, I suppose I'm trying to find the right word, but they're spoon-fed from a very, very young age. They're looked after. Everything's done for them, from buying their house when they're older
mm-hmm.
to buying their car to paying their phone bills. Everything is done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they all they think is football, me, and they think they're sort of invincible, and that's why you see a lot of sports stars on the front of the pages instead of the back.
Good quote there, Lizzie Cundy.
It's true.
Well, and obviously she has dated multiple basketball players and it's always ended in tears. You've obviously been in the football world.
Yes, I have. I mean, I was in the football world from the age of 19.
Mm.
And I'm still, I know, I love football. It's in my blood. I know you don't.
Not really my thing.
Interview last week, you're not that interested in football, but I love football. I find it exciting. I think I, you know.
But what is it about men that go in? I know you said they're mollycoddled, but that doesn't mean that you necessarily have to go and cheat. And it does seem to be a fairly common occurrence.
Because I feel
they feel like they can.
They can get away with it. Mm-hmm. They have the money, the power to either stop a story. Mm-hmm. They can talk their way out. They've never been told that's wrong. If you've got a load of yes people around the whole time saying you're great, you know, 70,000 fans every weekend screaming your name.
Why would you get married why bother getting married in the first place, do you think?
I think they're encouraged to get married from a very young age because they want stability. The bosses actually encourage their players to marry young. You look at Stevie Gerrard, all the footballers, David Beckham, very young age to get married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, genuinely, they are. They're early 20s, even teens. And it's because they want stability. But the fact is they miss out on that childhood, teenage years of going out. You know, they don't drink. They don't go to clubs. They don't do all what we've do.
Yeah.
So they're encouraged to marry young, and you know the managers obviously are hoping they will stay in a good stable background will help their football.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, it doesn't.
Well,
it doesn't
seem to. No,
not
to
all
be
the
honest.
Time. I mean, how many footballers we know that are on the wrong side of the paper? You know, with all what they've got up to. Cheryl Cole found out.
Cheryl Cole, Colleen Rooney, Victoria Beckham. This all of them have been through cheating allegations, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
Jason Cundy.
But look, you know what? You know the game. When you're in it, you kind of understand it. It's like a funny football sports bubble that you're in. And I think hopefully Chloe and him can get through it. They've got a little one on the, you know.
Well, it's
born.
Here.
It's
born.
It's been born. Congratulations, the Kardashians. Another one to add to your show.
Yeah. Another name in the dynasty. Shall we play a little song?
Yes, please. And my then favourite,
this is one actually for my mum who is on the mend.
I'm so pleased. Here's to mum.
Here's to you, mum, and here's a bit of Spandau Ballet.
Wow, my favourite.
Thank you for coming home. Sorry that the chairs are all warm. I left them here, I could have sworn. These are my salad days, slowly being eaten away. Just another play for today. Oh, but I'm proud of you, but I'm proud of you. Nothing left to make me feel small.
someone in the house.
What are you doing?
I'm getting excited.
We have here, Honey G.
Honey G, yeah.
Hey, y'all, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Staying fly, you get me?
I get you. Honey G, wow. Good to see you, my darling.
You brought a gorgeous smelling with you. I'm telling you, you smell
gorgeous. She
smells
great.
It's my new perfume.
It's lovely. I'm really into it.
It's honey.
Oh, thank you. It's lovely to see you as well.
No, it's so good to see you, honey. I've missed you.
I know. I've missed you too. I'm like, oh, God. I need Lizzie Cundy in my life. Where is she?
Who doesn't?
I'm here.
Who doesn't?
You've been following me on Insta, though.
Yeah, I follow you on Instagram. I do. I'm an avid fan.
I'm your fan too, and we're so happy you're here. We're in the flesh, and you're looking and smelling great.
Thank you.
The most important thing.
Well, you've had a busy time.
Yeah, I have been busy. Yeah, I did a pantomime in at Christmas, so I was in Hastings for the whole month of December.
What was that like?
Well, I was starring at the Hastings White Rock Theatre, and I was starring as Fairy G in Sleeping Beauty.
I love that.
Course,
I know, it was.
Of course.
Oh, it was amazing. It was for Kudos Pantomimes, who are the biggest pantomime producer in the UK, and I was so blessed to have the most amazing experience and meet such talented actors and actresses, the people that I work with.
Really?
You know, down from the executive producers to the choreographer to the director, they were all just such incredible people. I was just so humbled to be...
Oh, you really enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah, and I really enjoyed it. You know, what they did in the pantomime is they kind of took my character and then incorporated it into the panto. So I didn't really have to change my personality, you know,
I bet all the kids.
It wasn't pure acting. It wasn't pure acting. You were just being yourself.
Yeah, I was just being myself. Obviously, I was following a script. But, you know, pantomime, it can be very fun, you know, at the end of the day. And you always have a bit of improvisation. But I was just so humbled and so blessed to be part of something that was so amazing and be working with such talented people.
Wow.
Impressive. So obviously most people will know you from The X Factor. That was where you made your name.
Yeah,
but that was a while ago now, right?
Yeah, that was in 2016.
No way, it wasn't. That has flown by.
Time has flown by. But I'm still going strong.
Do you know what?
You're still
I remember
here.
So well, because Sharon obviously loved you, didn't she?
Yeah.
And then there was a bit where Simon was like, really?
Yeah.
And there was all of that. But you went and proved them all that you were a star in your own right.
It was incredible, actually. It took me until boot camp to actually start to win Simon Cowell over. And it wasn't
until... start to like you.
Yeah, first audition, he was like... His body language, he was looking away from me. I was like, oh my God. You know, and I remember being really upset after the first audition because I'm such a big fan of his and thinking, oh my God, you know, he's not into me. But by
he's
the time...
into me.
Yeah, and I mean, I was so worried and I was like, oh no. But, you know, by the time we got to Six Chair Challenge in judges' houses and obviously the live shows, I managed to get him, you know, behind me, which was amazing. And in the end, I think he said something like, oh, G is for genius or something. So I was really pleased in the end that he really was behind me in the end.
Obviously at the time as well, you did get a lot of criticism. Yeah. And you've continued to get a lot of criticism for what you do, for being a white female rapper.
Yeah, I mean, well, unfortunately, I suppose that's come with, you know, my fame as well. You know, I don't really like to take much notice of any of the negative comments that I
Good
see
girl.
Or that I read. I just don't take any notice because, you know, obviously, you know, haters are always going to hate, you know, and obviously the people that hate and, you know, say negative things, obviously I call them haters, because I'm all about, you know, spreading positive vibes, you know, spreading the love. And also I like to educate people about rap and hip hop music, which is the most important thing for me. But, you know, I mean, I was voted by the public, you know, for eight.
You were actually very because you entertained. You're an entertainer. It was, made people laugh as well.
Yeah,
you know, whether you meant to or not, but it was fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed every minute of it. You know, I mean, obviously to start off with the live shows, it was amazing. I managed to get the public behind me for 8 consecutive weeks of the live shows. But I mean, that was just probably the most unforgettable experience of my life, performing all those live shows. It's such a unique experience, you know, that I'll treasure it, you know, in my heart, you know, for the rest of my life.
I mean, I came to watch one of the shows. I remember seeing, I met your lovely mum.
Yes, I remember meeting you for the first time.
I like came to the show and I remember saying to Simon after, you were so lovable. You're very likable.
Oh, thank you.
And I think if you are, that you're halfway there anyway. And people did really adore you. And I know you had a lot of, you know, the criticism saying, is she really a proper singer and all of that? But you really... You kind of fronted it and did it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of the people obviously who hate, you know, who were like, oh, you know, what's this white girl getting up? Because everyone expects, you know, a rapper nowadays probably to be black and male. So, you know, people were obviously out of their comfort zones. And, you know, for me, I've grown up around music the whole of my life, and I've been a musician the whole of my life, and I studied music at university as well. So the people that hated, some of them might not have known that, you know, I've literally been around since day dot. You know, when everyone was playing hopscotch in the playground at school, I was busy, you know, memorizing the Snoop Doggy Dog album, you know. So, you know, the way that I see it is just don't play a hate, congratulate, you know.
I like that.
You are full of all the phrases.
I love it, that, honey.
So obviously since then you've released a couple of songs, and yep, you recently, well, was it recently, did 100% Hotter?
Yes.
January?
Yes, I did.
So you had like a full makeover. They made you look completely different.
That always happens on that show, by the way.
What was it like?
Let me explain.
And why
to
have you.
You
gone back?
So the whole day that they actually blindfolded me for the whole day. So okay, I didn't see what clothes they were putting on me. I didn't see what they were doing to my hair, what they were doing to my makeup. The mirrors were all covered up, so I had no idea until the reveal.
Oh gosh, I
have to be completely honest. I was a bit out of my comfort zone with the look. And I remember leaving and they said, oh, you know, we'll sort your extensions out tomorrow. And I was like, no, take them out now, please. I was like, get them out of my hair right now. I mean, I was not
happy with the...
I mean,
because the views of the I always wonder, those people in the street, are they set up? Because they they're so much better.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're quite selective. I'm not sure about how many people they interview and how many people they get on the street, and if they're quite selective, I've got no idea. But they did say that I was the first person that had got consecutive 10 scores, which I was quite chuffed about. But I really did have absolutely no intention of continuing with the look.
Do you think it was set up with those people? Do you think? Well, what do you feel?
I mean, you know, it depends on how many people that they got from the street and interviewed. What if they interviewed double the amount of people that they put on the telly and then just selected the ones they wanted to select? I don't know whether that's what they do. It did look quite set up. Yeah. It did.
But did you enjoy the process at all?
I enjoyed it. It was an experience. You know, I was, you know...
I think it's very brave of you, because we know you to cover up with your shades, your cap. And for you had to be kind of... It's naked, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was very different to my normal. I like quite a ghetto look, you know. I like to wear my caps, my chains, my glasses, you know. And so, you know, obviously, my eyes came out. They did all this eye makeup, and I felt very naked. You know, when I was up there, I felt very, very
quite
naked.
Scary. You know,
it was quite scary.
Obviously,
yeah.
One of the big things that happened after you did X Factor was you did a big coming out interview with Dan.
Dan Wooden.
Yeah, my boy.
If you were gonna,
we love Dan.
We love Dan.
He's
big
actually,
up my boy.
He adores you. He absolutely adores you. And he did a little video of you. It made
for
me
his
laugh
birthday.
So
oh,
much.
Yeah, no, it was his birthday recently. So
it was very funny.
I saw him on Saturday at Christian's.
Oh, cool.
If you were gonna go out and date, would you dress how you do now?
Yeah, I mean, this is my natural look, you know. You know, I like to, you know, I like to buy expensive clothes. You know, I'm not going to lie. When I go out and I shop, I don't, you know, shop. You know, I like to spend money on my appearance, you mm-hmm, know? Mm-hmm. And so...
Your makeup looks gorgeous. I can see underneath the glasses.
Ooh. Yeah. No, you look good. You look good. You smell good. Jeepers.
So,
but
yeah.
That was quite brave of you to come out because... You know, you yeah. didn't have to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't. I mean, during the show, actually, this actually never got aired. But one of the first questions that Simon asked me in the room audition was, have I got a boyfriend? And it's funny how people immediately assume, you know, because you're a woman, have you got a boyfriend? Or yeah. they're not. He didn't sure, sort actually. Of say, do you have a partner? And I got very defensive at the time because I was like, and I didn't want them to air anything. And they didn't in the end, thankfully. I just wasn't ready to come out during yeah. the show. And fine. I didn't think it was the right time for me no. to come out. You know, I was a bit concerned about homophobia. And I thought, oh, God, you know, what if I get a load of homophobic, you know, voters?
Did that really worry you? Yeah.
It does worry me, you know. And I mean, it was... You know, so that when I spoke to Dan, obviously, about coming out through him, and I know Dan, you know, obviously he followed me from the very beginning of X Factor. So I kind of felt comfortable with him. And so, you know, I mean, I did the coming out story and it ended up breaking the internet. So,
yeah,
you know,
it did break the internet. I remember reading it going, oh my God.
Did it lead to romance in any way?
Well, I mean, I am dating.
Okay. As in, you're dating one person?
I am dating. Yeah, well, I am dating one person.
Oh,
okay,
one person.
Got it.
Yeah,
congratulations. That should be celebrated.
So,
honey G, do I need to get a hat? That's the question.
What type of hat? Like, one of these ones.
I think you should do all the wedding in that, in your baseball.
Oh, yeah. I might, like, well.
We got to.
But, well, hold on, you've got to get past just the dating first before
yeah,
you get to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's,
honey,
it's,
is it going well?
It's very early doors, you know.
Can I
it's
ask where you met?
Well, we met through a mutual friend at a party last year. So, but yeah, I mean, it's very early days, and you know, it's at the sort of, you know, casual stage at the moment. If it, you know, if it turns into anything more serious, then you know, I'll let you know.
Yeah, great.
But is it hard? Can I say dating? With you being Honey G, because everyone knows you as Honey G. You're so
yeah.
distinctive. There's only one Honey G.
Yeah, I mean, you know. It can be a bit stressful sometimes because everywhere I do go, I get recognised. Or, you know, if I'm in a shopping mall, sometimes I get chased, you know, by kids, you know, through the shopping mall. But so, I mean, that's what I signed up to when I became a celebrity, which was everywhere I go, people are going to recognise me. One of my my manager once said to me, "Oh, why don't you go out in a short skirt and put your hair up? No one will recognise you."
It's
and
a
I
fair
was like,
point.
"But the thing is, that's just I don't feel comfortable
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
I want to
yeah,
be
yeah.
me, you know,
exactly.
and I feel comfortable being me and wearing the clothes that I wear."
Of course.
And,
see,
you
my
know,
manager says the opposite to me.
Can
what
you
did you
cover
wear
up?
A long skirt? Yeah, yeah.
Cover up.
So, we heard a rumor that you were actually releasing your own range of honey.
Yes,
this is incredible.
Yeah,
are you really what actual honey we put on toast?
Yes, actual honey we put on toast. Yeah. We found a manufacturer. My manager has, and basically we're hoping he's tasted it and it tastes amazing.
Honey's good for you.
Yeah, honey is good for you. Yeah, of course. But so we're hoping to pitch it, you know, to some supermarkets and hopefully we get some interest. And I mean, it would be amazing to get it in, you know, supermarkets and that sort of thing.
It could be the new reggae sauce.
Oh
yeah, man.
God.
The new
Honey G
Roots. Honey G Honey.
Honey G, you're going to have to come to my village where I live because I live next to Sainsbury's.
Lord oh,
Sainsbury.
Really?
What?
It's in my village.
Oh, not just a Sainsbury's.
Oh,
got it.
Sainsbury's.
Oh, Sainsbury.
Come round with your honey.
Oh,
leave a pot for me. Though,
oh, of course. Yeah? I'll put one in the. I'll hand deliver it to you.
Can I ask, have you spoken to Simon and Sharon since the show?
Sharon and I occasionally exchange text messages, and I mean I'm also quite friendly.
She
with
was very supportive of you.
Oh,
she really did.
Sharon is an unbelievable woman. You know, I am just. I mean, she was like fairy dust. You know, she poured fairy dust over me, and it was like magic what she did, you know, for my career.
And it worked.
And I'm completely indebted to her, you know, for all my success.
Listen,
you know.
I think we should go to LA and go around to hers and have a cup of tea.
Oh, so do I.
Let's do it.
I'm actually going to LA in May, and I'm actually quite friendly with Sharon's daughter as well, because I saw her.
Kelly's lovely.
Yeah, so I actually met up with her and performed at the Roosevelt Hotel for her club night.
Wow.
In LA when I last visited Kelly. So she's lovely. Amazing. Kelly.
Okay, I went to see Nuns on the Run with Kelly.
Oh, really?
How weird.
That is so funny. Yeah,
so, but you, and I've got a few contacts for you out there.
Oh, wicked. So yeah, mate. Hook me up, mate. You know what I mean?
Honey G, time is not on our side, I'm afraid, but it is so lovely. We could speak to you all day.
I know,
thank you so
could
much
I.
For coming
I
in.
Day. You
we're,
too.
We're going
to
play one
too.
Of your songs now, Riding Woo! Hot.
Riding Hot, my latest single, Big Up.
Let's go.
Yeah, she's a bit preoccupied right now. Okay, let's go to work. Sex on the beach, I got something to teach. We go into the bedroom, I love it when you're on heat. Sometimes you can get me, sometimes I'm out of reach. Listen to me carefully, I got something to preach. Don't test me, I'm sucking harder than a leech. Next thing we're chilling on the goddamn beach. Money ain't a thing, we're talking about to drown a can. Cause you're playing in my gang, let's just hang. My game is outrageous, my loving is contagious. You be too scared to stage us, my rapping is courageous. You won't wanna disengage us, cause I'm so flirtatious. Oh, you're so audacious, we do it, we're so shameless. The way you act is so gracious, you make me feel such greatness. Let's put this track on playlist, I live life so painless. I ain't got the faintest, they think that I'm gainless. But I'm always tenacious, and I'm always the vainest. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. I pick up my drink and it gets me a shot. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. Pick up my tings and it gets me a shot. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. Pick up my tings and it gets me a shot. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. I pick up my drink and it gets me a shot. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. I pick up my tings and it gets me a shot. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. I pick up my drink and it gets me a shot. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. I pick up my tings and it gets me a shot. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. I pick up my drink and it gets me a shot. I wanna be with you my whole damn life. The joke's on you cause I f*** your wife. I'm gonna take her on the walk of life. I don't cause her no goddamn strife. Standard, I got friends and you got friends. You don't know how to act, you better fall back. Don't make me come back, it's time for a bit of payback. Cause I'm such a goddamn maniac. Till you're percolating, you're the one I'm dating. I see them hating from the sideline, got them frustrating. Our blood's pulsating, our love we're debating. Got another one on Kuwaiting. They're the ones that are hating, that I got a top 10 rating. Yeah, we might whip their tail over it. If you don't back down, you'll get smacked down. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. I pick up my drink and it gets me a shot. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. Pick up my tings and it gets me a shot. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. I pick up my drink and it gets me a shot. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. I pick up my tings and it gets me a shot. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. Pick up my ding and it gets me a shot. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. I pick up my drink and it gets me a shot. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. Pick up my drink and it gets me a shot. We're riding hot, we're riding hot. I pick up my tings and it gets me a shot.
FUBAR Radio presents
Harriet Rose.
Joining me on the line now is Mrs. Katie B.
I do love female company. I just love that kind of energy, being surrounded by strong, talented women. Sometimes I do miss it because all of a sudden I'm like looking around, I'm like, hang on a minute. I need to kind of reach out to more artists that are kind of going through the same thing as me, or organise more sessions, or even give more opportunities to other up-and-coming artists, or shout out to other artists. It's definitely something that is more on my radar. Otherwise, like, I can feel it. I yearn for it.
Every Thursday,
Harriet Rose.
From 4 PM, FUBAR Radio.
We are being just sounding like Honey G here. I was going to say we are being blessed with guests.
blessed with guests in the house.
We have our second guest in the studio right now, David Stevenson. Hello.
Hello. How the devil are you?
Good. Really good.
It's good to see you.
It's even more better to see you, Lizzie.
Oh.
I travelled all the way down from Nottingham just to see
wow.
you. I mean, I knew Stephen.
Well, I'll take it. More for Lizzie.
That's so sweet. Because you were actually my favourite on that show. My boys are real fans of The Apprentice. And they would watch it with me because they'd record it. Say, Mum, you got to watch this with me.
Yours was actually the last series I watched.
Yeah, no, but you came across so nicely.
Thank you. And the thing is, all I tried to show on the show was that you don't have to be an idiot to go far, and okay, I didn't go as far as I wanted to. But
you still got pretty far in the process.
I thought you did
very well. Yeah, I mean, you got near to the final. Yeah, the weekend.
I got fired because I can't iron, but I blame my mum for that.
But how did it all come about? I mean, in the beginning, because there are people listening that are thinking, well, I'd like to be on The Apprentice. I mean, how did you get on?
It all came about initially, everyone in my town doubting me, not thinking I was any good at business. So I set a business up, and basically, by being cheeky, I managed to win a big contract with the Football Association. I managed to get a contract to the Women's FA Cup final, do all their marketing. And it was from that that I'd gone and auditioned. But what people don't know is I auditioned 5 years in a row, got knocked out in the first stage for the first 4 years. And the fifth year, I got all the way through.
Wow.
That's incredible.
But I think what it just goes to show, though, if you are genuinely good at what you do and you've actually got something behind you, they will put you on. It's like they can see through you.
Yeah.
I kind of guess with all the casting
definitely.
Producers.
And also it's a case of getting the mix all together, isn't it? They need you to balance with the other contestants.
Oh, absolutely.
And all of that.
I mean, there's a guy, I mean, I don't know if you remember McGinn Bataille, who was on our series.
Yes.
The guy who tried to screw in a nail.
Yeah.
He was in my audition.
I forgot about that.
He was in my audition process. And when I saw him, when we cast and we first walked through the doors and we saw him, I was like, how on earth did you get on this show? But you know what? Now we're best mates. And, you know, I'm glad he was there.
But how do you cast for this show, though? Do you have to say, oh, I can do this, or I've done this? I mean, how do you do the casting process?
I mean, so initially you have like a 30 seconds to kind of just sell yourself. So I turned around and went, Google my name. I am the Simon Cowell of marketing. If you want something to do with music, you go to Simon. If you want marketing, you come to me. And that was the end of my 30 seconds. And they put me through.
Wow.
You just need,
well, you've got to have the balls,
exactly,
should I say.
Exactly. The balls is yeah.
You've got to get noticed, I suppose. You need to make a difference.
You have to.
Different.
The problem a lot of people have when they audition for The Apprentice is that they try and say, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. They don't care. They want to know your personality to start with, because that's what is key. And then you're going on television, it is an entertainment show as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Were you pleased with how you were kind of portrayed in the final edit?
I was absolutely pleased with how I came across. I mean, there were a few things that kind of were out of the last show, but you know, they got an
hour
to do.
You seemed like quite a cheeky chappy to me, and you came across fairly good, I thought, but like,
I just knew when to keep my mouth shut.
That's important.
And I think, and the one thing that I did that people didn't see, they used to say, David, you didn't negotiate a lot. I said, no, because in a real world of business, if four people are talking at the same time, it's not good business. So I used to just stand there quiet, because if you're talking, I'm not going to interrupt.
Yeah.
And I just kept the same ethos throughout the whole of the show.
Well, and it's obviously served you well, because you're doing well out of the show, obviously.
So out of the show.
What have you been doing since?
So after The Apprentice, I then went back to my marketing. And then I've dabbled in a few other things, including another show in which I got dumped on by my ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yes.
What was that?
So that was Make or Break, and it was on Channel 5.
The Channel 5 show, yeah.
And it is coming back. And one thing that I will take away from it, as much as I cried and cried and probably could sell my tears as bottles of water, I made that much, is that we had the most amount of viewers in the three episodes I was there.
Really?
So I'm taking that. I mean, yeah, I'm taking the
credit. Darling, it's all about ratings, let me tell you.
It was very traumatic, that show.
But it was weird. We didn't know what we was doing. A lot of people said, come on, David, the show's called Make or Break. Did you not know you was going to go on there with your girlfriend and she probably were going to dump you? No. I wouldn't have gone on otherwise.
Yeah, I don't like being dumped.
Especially not in front of a camera.
Yeah, in front of loads of people watching. Oh, that's a bit sad. Were you a bit gutted?
Now I'm really happy that, you know, I'm out of the relationship. But at the time, yeah, I was absolutely devastated. Because I think, you know, when you're blindsided and you don't know what's happening.
Oh, bless you. Don't say you're
devastated. Have you moved on? Have you moved on?
I've moved on.
He's here with Lizzie Gundy. He's moved on.
I'll have no, it's all right.
Would you say to people listening then, this is a great stepping stone, audition for The Apprentice. I mean, isn't Alan Sugar... I mean, I've had words with Alan Sugar before.
Right.
Because he used to be chairman of my ex-husband's club.
Oh, did he?
Right. Tottenham Hotspur. But he's got a character.
I think he's really funny. And one thing, though, my opinion of Alan Sugar was that you could understand that he knew what the truth was. He could get the right information out of people. And I thought he was a pretty fair person. What I would say about The Apprentice, though, is that I do think they cast the right people. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at my year, 2015, okay, a couple of years ago, but if you look at the success, Joseph Valente, who won, is now, he bought Lord Sugar out and he's doing well. And then you've got Vaughn, who's doing really well. All the final five have got their own businesses. And then a lot of the other people have. And now I'm running another successful business in a completely different industry. Although Alan Sugar does say this one thing, stick to what you know. I knew nothing about milkshakes. I didn't make a milkshake until the day before I opened, but I'm doing well.
And it's going well then?
Yeah.
What is the milkshake?
So we called Alaskan Ice, and basically the milkshakes are very unique in how we make them. We don't make them with Mr. Whippy ice cream. We actually literally use... We've got our own formula we've created and crafted ourselves, which we make and we blend. At the moment, though, we also do some adult ones. We've got a great amaretto and red cherry milkshake that we do.
Oh, that's a bit alcoholic. Nice.
Yes, we've got a license. Don't you worry. Woo! I've covered everything, because obviously when the summer comes, we want to be able to do, you know, frozen cocktails for the mums, while the kids have the milkshakes. We've literally got every angle
actually
covered.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, and we're the only place of 5 miles.
What made you, so where is that?
It's in Hucknall in Nottingham.
Okay.
We are literally the only place in 5 miles which sell frozen desserts like we do, with the milkshakes, the freak shakes, the hot cookie doughs.
Freak shakes are a real thing now, aren't they?
They are a real thing.
I mean, it's like a piece of artwork in a glass.
I mean, our biggest seller at the moment is a unicorn.
Ooh. And we basically... Oh my God, I'm so over unicorns.
But you know what? When the kids come in, they see the unicorn. They absolutely love it.
They just love it, don't they? The kids love it.
It's all rainbow colours and...
Rainbow colours, lollipops, candy floss. It's all there. I'm not going to not take it off the menu.
No, you've got it. Just because Steven doesn't like it.
The teeth of those poor kids, though. I mean, geez.
Well, it's the mums you've got to worry about, because we do a mini version, a big version, and the amount the mums are having.
Really?
That's another question. Yeah, we actually get parents coming in on dates drinking my unicorn milkshakes.
Wow.
But what do you put specially in the milkshake? I know that you do your own little Mr. Whippy.
Yeah, but we also, it's the way that we make them. So what we do, even with the chocolates, we use real chocolate, but we actually freeze everything. So rather than just putting in a blender, we actually freeze it. Yeah, we freeze it all. Then the next day, that's when we finally chop it
all
up.
I really want a taste of this.
It keeps hold of all the flavour.
You should have brought some down.
The aromas, it probably would have melted.
Well, you could have put it in a freezer bag.
3 hours.
I really, really want one.
Well, you know what? That's a perfect excuse for me to ask you out on a date in Nottingham.
Oh, Lizzie, this has never happened before. You've never been asked on a date on air.
On air. Oh,
but that would mean you'd have to go to Nottingham.
David. I must say, though, your hair's looking lovely today.
Thank you, David. You're so sweet.
Are you going to go to Nottingham, though? Probably not.
Maybe not. I will for David. It's not long on the train. Where is it? From Euston?
You can get King. No, well, it's about 1:40 from St Pancras.
Okay. I'll buy a nice magazine and sit there and get to you.
It's all right. You don't have to worry about
so
it.
So listen, David, you've doing Challenge David.
Tell us
a little bit. How did that come about and what is it?
So Challenge David is basically me getting out the house a lot more. I went through a little bit of a stage after Make or Break when I got dumped. I was in a little bit of a rut and I wasn't going out a lot. So I don't want to use the term depressed, but I was very much in a different mind state. So I needed something to get myself out there. So I decided that I was going to learn a new discipline for X amount of weeks and then compete. So I've already done a ballroom once. I learned to jive, got a partner, and then we performed at an event. And now I'm learning to fly an aeroplane. And then I'm going to be learning loads of different other things.
Wow.
And so I'm just trying to now get myself out, because you meet new people.
Yeah,
and now I'm actually... learning more, rather than going home after work and thinking, oh, I'm just going to watch TV and then go to bed and same routine, because that's what we do nowadays. Mm-hmm. We stick in a routine, and I want to break the routine, break the mold. So I'm doing this Challenge David just purely to show to people as well, is if I can do it, so can you.
Oh,
how inspirational.
I don't
like that.
David,
really,
you're
good.
A little sweetheart. Oh, you know that. See, I knew I liked you when I met you. As soon as I saw you on the telly, I thought, nice boy.
You're really nice. You know what right words to say, don't you?
She does. She really does. David, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you very
much. It's a pleasure. It really is to meet you.
And now, you're going to go to Nottingham for a date?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go to Nottingham. I've actually been to Nottingham. I had to do a TV show in Nottingham recently.
Right.
Music show.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Shall we play a bit of Charlie Puth, seeing as that is your favourite musician?
It is. I'm going to dedicate this to my gorgeous apprentice.
Oh, stop it.
Thank you very much, David.
Thank you.
Yeah. mistaken. You think that you could be better off with somebody new. No, oh, oh, baby, no. You say you're leaving. Well, if you wanna leave, there ain't nobody stopping you. No, oh, oh, baby, no. I won't beg for your love. Won't say please. I won't fall to the ground.
That's my favourite.
Bit of Charlie Puth. Are you pleased?
When I like a track, I play it about 100 times. It's
I know
terrible.
You do. I know you do. It never ends.
I know. And then
every
I go,
week
no,
you
I never want to hear it again. I love Charlie Puth.
So we have our final guest of the show. The very gorgeous. We've just had a little chat outside. Meredith Ostrom, how are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
No, it's great. I'm really pleased to have you.
What a beautiful girl and a beautiful outfit. I don't miss a nice necklace. Let me tell you, that is a gorgeous. You look stunning.
Yeah.
Thank you. Wow, I should come more often.
We're not always so complimentary, I promise. So actress, artist, how would you describe yourself?
That's an interesting question. I suppose I wear many hats. I'm a creative entrepreneur and a Londoner at heart. But also...
Despite the accent.
Accent. I'm trying to... It's a mix.
Yeah. Well, I spent a lot of time in London. I'm from New York, but I also have Swedish origin.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do
Hence
I.
Hence the name.
Yeah.
I have a bit of Swedish in me.
Oh, great.
I did my DNA.
Viking time.
Viking.
Yeah,
I'm
we're
Viking.
Vikings. Vikings are taking over.
We're Vikings, yes.
So what do you do now? Obviously, you've done a lot of roles in the past. We've been looking at your bio. What are you most proud of and what are you kind of doing at the moment?
Well, I'm very proud of mixing philanthropy with my art. My last exhibition of art and design was in November at a place called Holiday House London, where different designers came and designed different rooms. I treated mine as an art installation. I created everything in this space, and my theme was Viking rock, because I've been very into this inner core, finding your inner warrior, not thinking about a man, a powerful man, like finding my own power and building my own sandcastles. I'm on this journey right now, and I want to be proactive with everything. I'm about to produce film, acting film, I'm continuing with my art. I designed my first ever bed, which was featured in my exhibition. And in fact, all the proceeds for the ticket sales went to breast cancer research.
Oh, wow.
And Elizabeth Hurley hosted the opening night. But different designers were in it, Nikki Haslam. And I designed a bed for Savoir. And I love Savoir because they're 100% English, the mm-hmm. factories in England, yeah. every part of the bed is made here. It's the finest bed company in the world. And I'm very pleased they let me experiment. I designed a bed for them inspired by the Aurora Borealis.
Wow.
Wow.
And it was actually a bed in my mind for Thor and Barbarella to procreate.
I love that. I love a bit of Thor.
Thor and Barbarella. Yeah. Wow.
I love Thor.
I can only imagine. Rock.
I'm making this whole theme happen through my artwork. I've been doing my body paintings as well, and I've been using Norse symbolism all over them.
Yeah, so a body painting, please mm-hmm. explain that to anyone that might not understand.
It's an actual canvas.
Is it like tattooing or not?
Well, you tattoo your body and paint for a minute and like tumble over canvas and then wash
naked?
It off later.
Are
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
It's very Scandinavian.
Yes.
I like being naked, you see.
Exactly. We sweat naked. We jump in the snow naked afterwards. But I actually just got back from the north in England, Newcastle. Mm-hmm. And there was
that's cold there to be naked.
Yeah. But the Newcastle people, I've discovered that the Vikings came through there. So they're a mix of Scandi blood and English, and they're quite open and sweet and kind. And there's this really incredible, I call her Viking goddess, Jackie Miller Charlton, self-made woman, started the very first ever film festival there, the Newcastle International Film Festival.
Okay.
It was the very first year. They brought in a lot of talented people, and she announced that she has a new production company called 54 Films, the goal is to bring industry to the north of England.
Ah, okay, interesting.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It is actually. That's fantastic.
They're creating industry because I suppose Newcastle was the biggest industrial town with the coal and everything. And they're bringing, there's some confusion with Brexit and all that. But Michael Gove came to the opening gala.
Why?
Which was
okay.
interesting. You know, it's controversial.
Steve wouldn't
but
like that.
What the cool thing is, if he is going to support the arts and film in England and help create industry, especially in the north, because Newcastle has so much to offer, great people, they have the river, the beaches, the mountains.
Good
like
sense of humor
so
as well.
Good sense of humor. They're so so
they're very
kind.
Warm. They're very warm.
Yeah, and can you believe it? I'm an honorary Geordie.
Yes.
Yes.
Score.
I found my like.
Changing.
Yeah. I've been right in. I couldn't believe it. They're so accepting.
So you are officially back in the UK. Back.
Yes.
Newcastle loves you.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I didn't realize you went out with Duran Duran's Nick Rhodes.
Yes, he's wonderful.
He's a good guy. I know Simon Le Bon. I was at the rugby with him a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Simon's awesome. I love all of the guys from Duran Duran. Yes, Nick, my most formative years, my introduction to London was through the eyes of being with him, and he's such a creative entrepreneur himself. We're still very good friends. And I love his daughter, and she's a film editor. Very fantastic, very talented family, and... Yeah, I couldn't say better things about them.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And that's
so nice.
That is rare.
That is rare with exes to say be so beautiful about. But he's a very nice guy, and as you are, you're beautiful.
Thank you.
And you've done amazing roles, Love Actually, Factory Girl, Boogie Woogie, Sex in the City, London Town. There have been many things. But, I mean, do you want to put the acting a bit behind? Do you just want to develop yourself in your art?
Well, that's what I've been doing because I, for 3 years, took a hiatus getting my master's degree in New York. So that's why I was a bit quiet, studying design, and that's how I came up with the bed. And I thought, wait a minute, I actually missed the movie, so I'm going to make some more films this summer. I'm going to work with director Abel Ferrara, and he is considered the godfather of independent film. And he came to the festival, they gave him an Icon Award, and I got to present it to him.
Awesome.
So things are coming full circle, and we're like, hey, let's shoot a movie again. Yeah, we're going to do it this summer. And I'm probably going to be a producer on it as well.
Fantastic.
So I'm trying to take life by the hands now. You've or by the horns.
By the horns of a Viking.
You horns! My Viking horns!
I could believe when I found out I was a Viking.
I don't believe you.
26%.
You don't look like it.
26%. Yeah. 26%. No, 26%. It was, I got it, and a bit of Irish.
If you say so. And I'm not sure I believe it.
No, because the Vikings came over. And my mother was from Liverpool. It all works out.
Yeah, because anyway, if you look, this where the Vikings... I've been watching the show
the
Vikings,
cheeks.
And you show, like...
Oh, yeah. The maps.
Yeah.
The maps.
But it's all mixed, you know, the Brits and...
They went to Newcastle, Liverpool. I've done all my history, darling.
Well, I'm impressed.
Thank you.
So what have you got coming up now? What are you working on at the moment?
Next...
The festival?
Yeah. Well, the festival just happened.
Okay,
I'm going to help because I was so passionate about what they're doing, and because they're also setting up a film fund, which is integral investing, because they want it to be transparent so that you know the funds for the film is actually going to the places it's supposed to. Because in the past, with the tax laws, people would take advantage, you know. But this is completely transparent and honest. And they're also mixing it in with education. Let's say you want to get into film and you don't know how. They're providing a study program with Newcastle University. And like, oh, if you're a cab driver, I want to be in a movie. If you're like, you know, in a cafe, if you're like a hedge fund manager, whatever, they're open to talking to people and training people. So it's a really wonderful creative energy, and I can't say better things. So that's been the biggest excitement so far. That just was a week ago. Awesome. And then next I'm going to go to Cannes and market some of the films that are coming up.
Okay.
So, and then there's also a Netflix series that I'm meant to do that I'm not supposed to talk about, but in a few months' time I can.
Something's happening.
How incredible. And are you going to Cannes this year? Yes.
Yeah.
You got to
You've
see
been
my friend.
To Cannes,
yeah,
you?
A few times.
Jean Bernard
has got a lovely
Oh, yeah,
pop-up.
He has the pop-up. Yeah, 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 yeah. We might throw a party there.
You've got to.
Yeah.
Got to.
He's amazing.
He is a good guy. He's really sweet, despite what the papers say.
No, he's really sweet. No,
very creative.
And he has the best chefs come. And yeah, it's
he
cool.
does everything. So good. I was going to hook you up, but you're already hooked up.
Yeah,
don't even do it, baby. Fantastic, Mary. Our time is not on our side, my friend. We've got to go.
Well, let's catch up for a tea next week then, and talk about our Viking blood.
Yeah, come on.
And taking over is women power time.
Oh my God. What am I going to do? So, what am I just let sit on the sideline?
Stephen, don't be scared.
You stay in our tribe.
Okay, fine. I'll do that. Mary, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Mary. And wow, what a show!
Another ball buster of a show.
It is a jumbo packed show.
I'm not going to be here next week, Lizzie.
How come? You've not told me
this
before.
I'm going to Pittsburgh.
How dare you? Why? Something to do with Eurovision.
Pittsburgh? What would that have to do with Eurovision?
Well, I don't know, but it's always to do with Eurovision. With
I will be in Pittsburgh this time next week, but
Andy Warhol's from there.
I'm going to the Andy Warhol Museum.
Amazing.
Yes.
I was Nico in Factory Girl, the Andy Warhol movie.
Oh,
with Sienna Miller.
Yes,
yeah.
I've seen that.
Fun time.
Watch on a plane one. Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Meredith.
Thank you.
We'll work out what's going to happen
Thanks
next
for having
week.
Me.
Well,
yeah.
I'm on my own. Maybe Meredith could do the show with me.
Girls Night.
We'll yeah. Girls Night. That's Viking fun. Night.
Viking okay. Night. I like that.
Love you all. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Till next time.
Bye.
Is on to get out of the bottom. The top is high.